Welcome to the next episode of Cinemai Speaks Out. Cinemai Speaks Out is about domestic violence and Cinemai culture. With this podcast, we will hear stories of brave women who overcame domestic violence and know more about their cultural upbringing. I'm your host, Jennifer Tamman, and today we have the privilege of hearing our guest story. However, for safety and confidentiality purposes, our guest identity will remain anonymous. So guests, welcome and thank you so much for being here and sharing with us your story.
Hi, I'm very glad to be here and share my story, and I really hope that through opening up and sharing my story, it would be empowering to others and willing for them to open up.
All right. Can you bring us back in the beginning? Can you tell us a little bit about your story, like when your relationship started? How was the relationship when it first started? How did you feel? You know, like just.
So my story happened in my teenage years. I was 17, so I was a senior in high school. Before that, I was never in a serious relationship, and I feel like 17 is such a vulnerable age where I feel like I'm an adult, but then I don't have that much control as an adult, you know, like I feel like I can do so many things, but I just never really had control of it. So it was just like that time of age where like I wanted to explore, and I felt like meeting this person was something that was meant to happen, and like it was just like he's the one, you know, like so that's when it started. High school, senior year of my high school, it lasted 2 years. The relationship, at the end, I realized it's a domestic relationship, but in the beginning, it's like butterflies, everything seems perfect. If there was red flags, I would just ignore it.
Right, like, you know, when we're in that state, right, especially in a very young age, we're in that state, like, we see red flags, like bleeding red flags, mm-hmm. but we're just like, you know, we just like kind of ignore it. Yeah. I get what you mean. So, how did it feel like being, like you said, this was your first relationship, right? Like, how did it feel like to be with someone, to find someone that you thought was the one for you? Like, you know, for me, like, I would say, like, I was head over heels. Like, everything happened so fast, like flash, you know what I mean? Like, it was so fast, and I was head over heels, and, like, you know, he was my first true love, like, you know. So how did it feel for you?
I feel like the relationship was justified, like you said, like the red flags were just all ignored. Everything that happened, like he was just like the red flags that seem so common sense, but like when you're actually in it, it's like the red flags that you justify yourself. And these red flags were mainly like jealousy, like being possessive, obsessive, saying verbal things that no one despite your gender should hear. Mm-hmm. And like being new to a relationship, I guess part of myself thought that that was normal,
right?
Which is not.
No, it's not normal.
But like, I guess like when you don't realize that it's not normal, it's those red flags just becomes like the baseline of a relationship, like that. That's normal, and that's how a normal relationship is. Like,
right.
I thought that being jealous like that, like, having to know where he is or him having to know where I am, is like love, you know? My definition of love was wrong to begin with, you
right,
know? Like,
right.
I just feel like it just started wrong, that I, it was, looking back, everything was wrong, but me being 17 in a relationship, thinking that he was Prince Charming, I just thought that was normal, and everyone experienced it the same.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, you just wasn't sure.
Yeah,
uncertainty, right? And you know, I think it's okay to know where someone is, like to care about, because you care about them, like. But it has to have like some limitation, right?
Sure.
Like, you cannot, like, you know, like, not know where you're at. Like, 5 minutes ago, I just told you 5 minutes ago I was here.
Yeah.
I haven't moved, right? Like, you know what I mean?
Everywhere I was, he had to know where I am. Literally, like, even like the food I eat, like, he had to know what I'm eating. Like, it was that obsessive, that controlling, but I never came to a realization back then that that was not right.
That's not right. Yeah.
And I also feel like if someone taught me, if someone told me what a healthy relationship is, I would have been able to see it more clearly in the beginning. But since I didn't really have that knowledge of a healthy relationship, like, I never learned it from school. Like, there's no class on healthy relationship 101, you know? Like, like, I didn't...
They should.
They really, really should. I think it's very important for, like, schools or family adults to educate the younger generation of what is right or wrong.
Right, yeah.
That's true. I think, like, education, awareness, and just, like, teaching the young people of, like, you know, what's okay and what's not okay in a relationship. What's a healthy relationship, you know? I think that would benefit a lot, right? So, when, can you tell me, like, when or how did you come to the realization you were in a domestic relationship, right? I know you said in the beginning that's your first time to be with someone. So, like, how was it, like, of course, like, for me, right, it was, like, head over heels. Everything was, like, rainbow, sunshine, unicorn, sprinkles, whatever, right? Like, how would you say it was for you?
Even if it was my first relationship, I saw red flags, you know, like, there was a lot of cheating, there was a lot of, like, things that just never added up. But I feel like I always justified myself that I was in the perfect relationship. So I would say that until the very end, I never told myself that this was a domestic relationship. I just always, like I said earlier, I always just justified it with excuses that didn't even make sense. I just, no one wants to label themselves as being in a domestic relationship.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's true. So, can you just give us, like, a brief example or description of, like, you know, the first time or what led up to this kind of relationship, right? Because, like, of course nobody gets into a relationship and then it's already like abusive, right? No, it doesn't. Like, there's, like, a certain, how do you say that, process, or right? Can you just, like, if you could just go back and just describe how did it all, like, you think started?
In the beginning, of course, everything seemed perfect. There was no jealousy, there was no any signs that my partner would be abusive. But I feel like it led up because I had friends that my partner started seeing that I would spend more time with my friends. Like, I had my social life, I had my personal life, but then it's when he realized that I wasn't all his. Like, I'm not all his. Like, I have my other life, and I feel like that really led up to, like, you need to be all mine.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, I guess, like, there was, like, a sense of control Yes. Like, right?
Yeah.
Like, he wanted a little bit more of control over you, mm-hmm. right? And so after you realizing that, you know, you might be in a controlling or mm-hmm. violent relationship, did you reach out for help or talk to anyone about it? Or did you talk to yourself about it? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, sometimes that helps too. Like, you know, if you just talk to yourself and just like, oh, you know, this is happening, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
I feel like it's very easy to judge others when you see them in a violent relationship. Like, you can be like, why are they in a violent relationship? What are they looking for in that relationship? Mm-hmm. But I feel like when you're actually in the relationship, it's like you justify yourself so much that, like, you don't actually tell yourself that, oh, this relationship is not right. I didn't reach out for help. More than reaching out for help, I presented him as something else to, like, my friends and my
family
to make him look so much better than what he actually was. So,
you were painting someone.
Yeah.
For
yeah,
them, yeah. Right?
So, like, if he, like, for example, if he gave me, like, a rose, I would be like, oh my god, like, he's a guy, like, gives me roses, right, like, right. Have you ever gotten a rose? It's like that, like, it was, I always talked about the good parts and exaggerated it, uh-huh. but I always shut down and eliminated the bad parts of him, and
right.
just told myself that, oh, the bad parts never happen, but the good parts are exaggerated.
Yeah, I understand that. So, you know how you said, like, you painted him mm-hmm. to be this certain, to be Prince Charming mm-hmm. for your family and your friends, right? What were their reaction? Like, how are they reacting towards that portrayal of him?
Well, to be honest, my mom didn't like him in, like, first sight. My mom was like, no. My mom was like, nah, like, no, like, it's not gonna happen, like, don't get into the relationship. But of course, at the moment, no one can tell me what to do, you know, like, if I want to do it, I'll do it. That was my initial reaction from my mom. From my friends, since I presented him, I painted him as, like, Prince Charming, like, of course, they would believe what I say. Like, they won't, like, how would they know what he's like when I'm telling them a different story? Like, what I tell my friends, my family, that's just how he is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So how long, like, could I just ask you, if you don't mind, if, like, how long did you stay in this relationship? Like, you know?
I stayed for 2 years. And looking back, I feel like 2 years was just 2 years of my life, but when I was actually in the relationship, it just felt like forever. Like,
yeah.
It was something that I never saw myself getting out of, so I think I just felt like it was never ending. But looking back, it was, I'm like, oh, it was only 2 years, but while I'm in that relationship, it's like so long.
Yeah.
So long.
It was dragging.
Okay, so I guess one of the factors is that I wanted to ask this, like, why did you stay longer? And also, what made you leave that relationship, right? So let's talk about why did you stay longer? You know, 2 years. 2 years is long. There's a lot of things that could happen within a year, but yeah. You stay for 2 years. So what made you stay longer?
Looking back, the biggest reason I stayed, even though I knew it was something that I shouldn't have stayed in, was because I always felt like I would change him. Like, mm-hmm. I always felt like if I show him how I am, if I show him how much I care, he would become the person that I wanted him to be. But I never realized that he's gonna be him, you know, like, he's gonna be himself. Like, you can't change a person that's not willing to change.
Yeah.
You can't just want your image of Prince Charming on a guy just because you want him to be your Prince Charming, you know?
Yeah.
Thought I could change him, and I wanted to change him, and every time I felt like he was changing, it was just so much accomplishment for me. But then at the end of the day, he would just fall back to where he was.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah. So 2 years, right? So you decided to leave. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, correct me if like I'm wrong, but like what made you like really say like, okay, I'm leaving, you know, I've had enough of this, like I'm leaving. What made you, what brought you to that decision?
It was very hard to leave the relationship because I felt like he was the one, like, this is the person that I want to be with. But the biggest reason I decided to leave was because it was starting to hurt the people that I love. My friends were getting affected, my relationship with my parents, my family members, my friends, my school, just my life was literally like falling apart just for one person, which doesn't make sense.
Right, I get it, I get it. Okay, so you left him because of your family, mm-hmm. and that's so brave of you to just, you know, to choose what's best for you, right? Mm-hmm. Did anything like, so in that 2 years, right, mm-hmm. you know, you realize that you're in this type of relationship. You're in a violent, controlling relationship. Did, you said, we reach out for help. Like, what, did it, anything about you, like, you know, that prevented you from reaching out? Like, you know, to tell others, like, hey, I'm in this violent, controlling relationship, you know, like, any of that sort?
Well, I guess because, like I said earlier, like, my mom was like, no, like, this is not the right person for you. But then I always portrayed him as, like, the best person I've ever had. And I knew that if I reached out for my help, for like, to my mom, she would be like, what did I tell you? Like, see, what did I tell you? I would be confronted. I didn't want to be confronted. Not only that, like, if I told my friends about this, they would be like, so what was all the Prince Charming stories that you told us before? You know, like, it's like I would have been seen as like a liar. You know, I just didn't want to be confronted, to be seen as a liar or seen as someone so vulnerable.
Right,
I get that. Yeah, I don't think people would see you as a liar, but I understand like where you're like, I don't want to tell people because I told them this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm making a fool out of myself. Yeah. And then, yeah, I get what you mean. So, when you left that relationship, right? Can you describe, like, how did you feel, like, when you came to that realization, like, I'm leaving, I'm done, I had enough, adios amigos. Like, how was the feeling?
It's like, if I was to like compare it, it was really like my half of my heart was gone, or like literally like my heart was gone. Like,
yeah.
I just felt very empty. I just felt like I didn't have any purpose in my life anymore because I've been so focused on one thing for a long time that when it's gone, it's just like, what's next? Like, what's my next step?
Right.
I think that's, yeah, I just felt very empty and I was lost, I would say.
Okay. So what about the reaction of your family and friends when you left them? Like, do they know what was going on, or, you know, like, what was their reaction?
Well, while I was in a violent or the domestic relationship, I would always tell my friends, oh, I'm actually going to leave him. And then, like, the next day, I'm back with him, you know? Like,
yeah, right.
So when I told my friends, of course, they were supporting, but of course, they were like, can you please not go back this time, you know? They were just not begging me, but they were always like, please do not go back, you know?
Right.
Are you going to go back? Or, like, and then, like, the week after, like, I actually ended everything, they're like, are you guys back together? Like, they would always check up on me, like, see how I'm doing. They were always there to help me from getting out of it, but then they were always scared that I would always go back to it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, like, they saw a pattern.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, how long did it realize, for them to realize, like, oh, okay, she's serious, she's not going back, like...
Because I feel like it's so crazy how one person can influence your life so much. How, like, from what you can do, how you act. And my family and friends were seeing it while I was in the relationship. Like, my grades were failing. Like, I wouldn't hang out with my friends anymore. I was almost never home. Like, I would prioritize spending my time with this one person than spending time with all my friends or my family. So when they realized that I'm actually staying, like, they knew I was being for real this time, because I actually spent more time with the people I loved.
Right.
And, like, they were saying, like, you're finally smiling. Like, your face is finally happy. Like, you were, like, you know, friends and family, they know you the best. That's why they were telling me, like, your face is finally glowing. Like, you're finally smiling. Like, it's like you're out in the sun, you know?
Right, yeah. Right.
So,
I guess they were pretty happy for you, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, we got you. Yeah. Like, yeah. We'll go out in the sun with you. Yeah, it's amazing. Family and friends.
Yeah.
So, do you believe that your culture or your upbringing contributed to your response to being in that domestic or that controlling relationship?
Because my culture is very Asian, of course I don't want to bring any shame.
Right.
That was one thing. And I guess I've never seen what a happy relationship was. Like, it was hard for me to know what's right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just really feel like childhood really matters. How you're taught, how you grow up, how the people around you really matters when it comes to you building a relationship with someone so intimate.
Right.
You know?
Right. Totally. So, what advice do you wish you could have given yourself before, you know, the violence started? Let's say, like, the second day or the third day that you guys got together, right? Like, what advice would you have given yourself?
I even tell this to myself now, like, when I'm in a new relationship or if I'm looking for a new relationship, I always tell myself that I'm always first.
Right.
It's me. I'm gonna be first, you know? Like, it's never I'm gonna I mean, of course there's sacrifice in relationship, but I'm always looking out for myself.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. I think, like, loving yourself is very important. I think just prioritizing yourself, because no one else would do that as much as you can prioritize yourself.
Right.
Yeah, well
said. So, what advice would you give other survivors or outcomers or individuals who are still currently in a domestic relationship?
I want to say that at the end of the day, no one can tell this individual who is currently a victim that they can get out, because at the end of the day, it's always themselves that has to step out of it. No matter how many people tell them that that's wrong, no matter how many things happen, it's just you have to come to a realization that you're more worth than what that other person portrays you as, and that there's, like, so much more to than that relationship.
Yeah, I just
feel like, just at the end of the day, it's up to you. Like, it's you who's gonna change, not someone else. No one else is gonna change for you.
Right. That's true. So what do you wish the Sinamai community understood about domestic violence?
Domestic violence is not something to be looked down upon. I think it's a natural thing. It's just something that no one should ever go through, but it just sucks that the world's not perfect like that. I just wish that the CNMI understood that it happens, it's real. It's gonna happen in the future, and the best way to do is prevention, being aware, and just reaching out to those that need help.
Right.
Yeah, it's just real. It's not like a, it's not a fairy tale. It's not something that happens in a movie. It's like, it really affects a lot of people. And I wish the community knew that there are sources on island that can help them. And it's not something that should stop someone from reaching out just because it might be, they might think it's shameful, it's embarrassing. It's something that you need help with, and people are there and here to help you out with. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing your story and doing this with me. I really appreciate it. Thank you for your bravery. So for our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in with us. Please come back next week as we talk more about domestic violence and cinema culture. Lastly, if you are experiencing domestic violence and know someone who might be experiencing domestic violence, please call 911 or our victim hotline 670-234-3878. Thank you, and we'll see you all next week. The CNMI Speaks Out has been made possible in part by a major grant from the Northern Marianas Humanities Council and the National Endowment for the Humanities. Any views, finding, conclusion, or recommendation expressed in this podcast do not necessarily represent those of the Northern Marianas Humanities Council or the National Endowment for the Humanities.